Good afternoon, saints. It's been a good day. Spent this morning worshiping with Crown and Joy, Pastor Stan Morton. His wife are here. Thank you for being here, brother. And so I thank your wonderful pastor and your elders for allowing us to come. We really enjoy coming to Richmond and seeing these congregations that God has planted and seeking the kingdom of God. You are a great encouragement to us. So thank you very much. We go to other places and tell stories about you, okay? And so you are an encouragement to other churches who are trying to do the same thing. And I do want you to know that the Holy Spirit of God is at work. Amen. That we see other congregations, and some of them are facing some really hard times, and they cry out to God, and you can see the people's hearts open to the Lord, people loving Jesus, people coming to Christ, people loving each other who would never have had a reason to do that except in the Lord Jesus. So it is exciting, and you're part of that. Congratulations to all of you for surviving 2018. We praise the Lord for that. And may God give you grace as you face the new year. One of the things we do down in Chattanooga in New City is we are closely linked to an African-American church, Resurrected Baptist. And so New City is a Presbyterian church, and every year we swap. So tomorrow night, we'll go over to their house and to their church to Resurrected Baptist. Our pastor will preach, their choir will sing, and we'll pray together. We always end the evening at the altar praying. Now today, we come to a text in Scripture, and I want to say a little bit about it just before we read it. And I'll say a little bit about it, I'll pray, then we'll read it, then God willing, I'll preach. Okay. Now this text, right before it, the Lord Jesus is with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And they have gone up to what is called the Mount of Transfiguration. Everybody say transfiguration.
Transfiguration.
Good. It's a good word. Now what happened when they went up there was that all of a sudden, the Lord God sent this cloud down around them, and the disciples looked, and here were Moses and Elijah actually there. You know, their spirits were there talking to Jesus. And Peter, now, I'm sure if we had been there, we'd have been excited too. And, you know, Peter gets all excited, and he said, "Man, let's build some tents. Let's build one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and one for Jesus." You know, and it sounded good, right? That sounds like a good idea. Except it makes Jesus equal to Moses and Elijah. And he's not equal to them. He's way above them. And so the Father speaks. He said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And all of a sudden, it all went away. And so Jesus is coming down the mountain. He's talking to Peter, James, and John, even about his coming crucifixion. You see, the Lord Jesus is the very Son of God. He is God, second person of the Trinity, we say. He's fully God, but he was the Son of God who came down to earth to become a human being. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. God became man, Emmanuel, God with us. Here he is in the flesh, but he's still Almighty God. And he has come for one very particular reason. He's come to die. And the disciples didn't get it. And crucifixion, after what we just saw, you could kill the world. You could take over. What are we talking about? Jesus has come to die. Now, friends, this is important for you because he died for your sins. You were facing the judgment of Almighty God, and Jesus came to get in between you and justice. None of you here would like to stand in front of God. If you think so, you're crazy. But none of you would want to stand in front of God and say, give me justice. That's something you don't want to say. What you want to say, give me mercy. Yes. Amen? Amen? But Jesus came to satisfy the justice of God. He took the anger of God on himself. And all of that anger is gone. When you come to faith in the Lord Jesus, you believe in him, your sins are forgiven. And so that is why he had come. That is why he was here. And he was there with his disciples, and they're coming down. So remember, three of the disciples are with him, right? How many disciples were left at the bottom of the hill? Little math problem in church today. All right? Nine of them. Thank you. Nine. Now, there were other people who followed Jesus, but Jesus had chosen the 12, and he had given to them authority to cast out demons. So Jesus healed a lot of people, but even the disciples were given the power and authority to heal and to cast out demons. Okay, so having all said that, let's pray. Lord God, we're asking you to fill my mouth with the word of God, to send the Holy Spirit, and to use your very word to touch hearts and to give yourself glory. Please cast Satan out of this house that we might be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Do your work, O Lord, for your own glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hear the word of the Lord. It's found in your bulletin, so you have it right in front of you. You can open your paper or electronic Bibles and follow along. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever."
Praise be to God.
Amen. Some years ago, a certain politician had a slogan for his campaign, and it was called, "Yes, we can." So I'm going to work off that a little bit today. And our sermon, our title is, "Yes, He Can." Yes. If He wills. But we need to believe and pray. That's my sermon right there. Right? Yes, He can. If He wills, but we need to believe and pray. So that comes out to 3 points, right? Okay? That's pretty convenient. So that's what we're going to work on right there. All right? Yes, He can. Now, here is a situation where a father is watching his son be torn apart by an evil spirit. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had a child who is sick. But this is one of the most helpless feelings in the world. If you have a child, whether that child catches a disease, whether some kind of ailment afflicts them, whether it's an allergic reaction, whether it's a physical injury, whether they are born with a handicap or develop one, if you're a parent, you would move heaven and earth to try to fix your child. You would do anything you could to deliver your child. If you watch your child suffer, and you're a grown person, and you don't know what to do, sometimes parents, they take their child to the doctor, and the doctors don't know what to do. And they do all they can, and they still can't. This is absolutely, you reach the end of yourself. God, in His mercy, gave Joan and I 4 kids. We have 3 nasty, rotten boys, and 1 beautiful young woman. And actually, I love all my kids, but. When my daughter was born, and she was the youngest, and so my mother-in-law had said, "If you have another boy, don't call home." And I mean, this is serious business, right? And we had given up hope, pretty much. We just settled, okay, we're going to get another boy. And when that little girl appeared, my wife could hardly believe it. She said, "Really?" You know, and we didn't know. We didn't have one of those reveal parties before the time, you know. So at delivery, here is our little girl. And we were just amazed. And when I came home that day, the boys in the kitchen, you know, their mom was up at the hospital with their sister. And I said, "Now, guys, you know, I got to explain this to you. You got a sister. And she's going to get things you never got. She's going to get away with stuff you never get away with. And I just want you to know something." They said, "What, Dad?" I said, "That's tough. Just going to have to live with that." And so people asked me, "Well, was she spoiled?" And I would say, "I would certainly hope so. And we failed if we didn't spoil this girl." Now, along the way, as Curran, that's her name, Curran is from one of Job's daughters, named for one of the 3 most beautiful women in the world. And as she grew up, one day, she had a seizure. And this was frightening. And I don't know, maybe some of you parents have had a child go into seizures or have epilepsy. And we were shocked. And of course, as Christians, we started praying, "God, help us, help us. Help my little girl." But we didn't know how bad it would be. And our daughter had developed a seizure disorder or epilepsy from which nothing would pull her out of that seizure until we rushed her to the emergency room. And they were able to put her on an IV of some sort with medicine. But she would never come out of a seizure by herself. And time after time this happened. And every time, you know, you just collapse because you can't stop it. Can't stop it. And as she tried to go to school, we found out she was dyslexic, you know, and so she couldn't even pass out of kindergarten because she couldn't learn. And every time she started learning, she'd have a seizure and all of her reading would be erased and she'd have to start over again. So telling you about it is hard just to think about. Joan and I standing over her, laying hands on her, praying, said, get the car keys, grab her, gonna rush her to the hospital one more time. And eventually, we got her to a doctor and started treatment, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. Lord, heal our daughter. Heal our daughter. Now, don't you know, I wish I was a faith healer. I wish I could smack Anthony, pow, you know, and he would just fall on the ground, and whatever was wrong with Anthony would be healed immediately. Amen? You know? But that's not the way God usually does things. And I will tell you, please be careful when you read a text like we've read today, and you hear that God, nothing is impossible with God, and you hear that faith, you know, if you have faith, God can do mighty things. Don't become a sucker for TV preachers and faith healers who basically only want your money, you know, and sometimes hire people to work for them who act like they've been healed. And you see it on TV and you go, I want some of that. Okay. Now, I will tell you, I would wish I had been a faith healer for my daughter, but I was not. I was just a pastor. And I was a Christian, and all I had was, Lord, help. Lord, help. Now, in the providence of God, the Lord healed my daughter. She was delivered from her seizures, and she just graduated with a master's last spring from Reformed Seminary. Glory to God. But I know just a little bit of how this father felt. How long has he been doing this, Jesus asked. From childhood. And sometimes the demon that's inside him not only makes him mute and deaf, he couldn't speak, he couldn't hear, but it will take him and put him in convulsions and roll him into the fire or to the water to try to kill him. Man. This great confrontation is when, you know, already I'm thinking, this father has faith. It says, I brought my boy to you. That's faith, isn't it? Okay, he's coming. He's coming to Jesus. Jesus isn't there. Jesus is up on the mountain being transfigured. All right? He's only got his disciples. Now, he's given his disciples authority to cast out demons. And so here are the disciples, they're trying, you know. I don't know how they're doing it, you know. I don't know if they're saying, in the name of Jesus, come out of him. You know, God, help this child. And the devil is laughing. This demon is just tearing this kid up. And then the scribes show up. And, you know, it doesn't give us details about what the scribes were saying. But here are the scribes who don't believe in Jesus. They are giving the disciples of Jesus a hard time because they're trying to do what they were told to do by Jesus. And so this argument's breaking out. In the meantime, the kid's on the ground, writhing. The father is frantic. The scribes and the disciples are going at each other. And Jesus comes down and says, what is going on? And the father says, I brought my son to you. And disciples, they couldn't cast it out. Don't you love this guy? I do. I really feel for him. And Jesus just kind of loses it. You ever think he might do that with you? You ever think this phrase, you know, it's funny how we always apply certain scriptures to ourselves, and this one we kind of leave out. Oh, faithless generation. How long must I put up with you? I mean, here's a question for you. Are there things in your life that don't get changed? Are there things in your life that don't get fixed? Are there things in your walk with God that you just have given up? Are there things in relationships that you've just let sit? You don't even pray about them anymore. You came to a roadblock somewhere along the way in some issue in your life, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your parenting, whether it's in your job, you know, whether it's in seeing your hopes and dreams broken, whether you're single and you wonder how long that's going to last, or is God called you to this and you don't like it? You know, if it's some sickness, some illness, is it some problem? You prayed and God didn't come through. You prayed and things stayed the same. And you think the failure's in God. And Jesus says, you faithless generation, how long do I have to put up with you? How long has this been going on? Jesus asked the Father. And the Father tells him the story. And I love it when he gets to this point. And he says, from childhood, and has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus does this double take. What'd you say? Did you say, if I can? And brothers and sisters, this is the crux of the matter for a lot of us. Your struggle with faith might be, and in prayer might be, this might not be God's will, but it should never be God can't. And sometimes the devil will lead you down the struggle of life where you're hitting roadblocks in your faith, and you're hitting them roadblocks in your relationships, and you're hitting roadblocks in your life of whatever kind. And basically the conclusion that you come to is the inability is in God. God's not able. But I will tell you, if there's one testimony of the black church that you're going to hear at a black church, is this phrase, God is able. Yeah. And you ought to hear it in your church too. And you ought to hear it in your life. God is able. There is nothing my God cannot do. Nothing is impossible with God. That's what the angel told Mary. Nothing isn't, no, nothing. Amen. No, not that thing. Not that thing either. Nothing is impossible with God. Yes, he can. Jesus asked him, if I can, all things are possible to him I believe, who believes. And the man cries out, Lord, I believe. Whatever part of me is not believing, help that. Help my unbelief. And then Jesus says this wonderful thing, which shows that he will bring him to me. Now, we read earlier in Matthew about the leper. And it's a short story, but it's really a cool story, because the leper begins with this: you can heal me if you will. Jesus, you there's no doubt in my mind that this is from a leper who is cast out from society. He's got a horrible disease. It's eating his body away. He has lost feelings. He can't tell if his hand's in the fire or not. Infection is working its way through his leg. He's going to die, and he's so infectious that no one will have anything to do with him. He's lost everything in his life, but he has one confidence. You can do something about this. I know you can. If you will. And you know, that's always really what it comes down to in faith and prayer. You know, when we talk about prayers of faith, we are not saying you have become a little God. That's what the prosperity gospel says. You have basically become God. You can say, you know, I'm saying to this mountain, who do you think you are? The power, God never gives up his power. He didn't give it to you. He gave you a relationship. You have access to the power because you know God. You are standing in grace. You are standing in the, when you come to Jesus Christ and he washes you from your sin, you become a child of the living God.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that I think is so cool about being a parent is kids have access when nobody else can get in, even to president offices. You know, I was a pastor of a church. I thought I was pretty important. I had a secretary. That made me important. And I said, don't you let anybody up here lest they ask first. People shouldn't be walking in my door. You know, I might be praying. You know, I'm reading a book, you know. You know, so they should at least come to the secretary and say, can I see the pastor? You know. And often my secretary would say, I'm sorry, pastor can't be disturbed right now. He's in counseling session. You know, he's in a session meeting. He's in this or that. One of my kids calls. My secretary breaks all the rules. Your son is on the phone. Your daughter's on the phone. Oh, my daughter. Put my son on hold. I wasn't talking to my daughter. That's access. And you have that when you come to Christ.
Amen.
You have access to the throne.
Amen.
Where you can find help in your time of need.
Amen.
And you need to come boldly, the Bible says. And in your heart, there should be no question about God's ability. Part of being a Christian means you should be able to say to God, God, I know you can do anything you want.
Amen.
And if you want to change this, you say the word, and it's changed. And this burden that's on my life, I know you could break it. This bondage in my life, I know you can break it. This barrier between me and these other people that I can't seem to forgive, and they won't forgive me, I know you can change that. I know you can change my husband. I know you can change my wife. I know you can save my child. I know you can save my neighbor. I know you can fix racism. I know. You can bring justice. I know you can bring healing. But Lord, if you will.
Amen.
And see, even Jesus prayed that. Not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
And that's the struggle sometimes, because we know God can, and we want God to do it, and we really don't want to give him options. We don't want no if you will stuff. I know you can. Do it. That's not the way prayer works. Prayer works with the confidence and the faith that God can do all that he wants to do, but it also comes in submission. You're the boss, Lord. You're God. You know stuff I don't know. Now, why didn't God heal my daughter the first time I prayed? That would have saved us a lot of money. And a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. My daughter went through a lot of self-doubt. My daughter really had struggled with her own identity because of all those issues. She was terrified even to talk about it. Not anymore. Not anymore. She'll give testimony now. But you wonder, God, why? Why do I have to wait? Well, that's his business. That's his business. And prayer means you come and God said, you do your business, Lord, I'll do mine. My business is to come to you, believing you can do anything. And my business is to ask. You told me to ask. You told me to knock. And Lord, I'm here. I'm asking. I'm knocking. I'm needing. But Lord, I submit to let you be the Lord of my life. And if you tell me I gotta wait, then Lord, I know you can give me grace to do that. I know you can give me grace to endure what I don't want to endure. I don't want to endure pain. I don't want to endure sickness. Not one more day. I don't want to endure this trouble. I don't want to endure this hardship. I want action from you, God. But if the action is you got to change me so that I submit to your will, then do that. Do that. Jesus said, bring him to me. And Jesus said, get out of him. And the demon had one more try. Left him like he was dead. He might have been dead. You know, and it doesn't matter to Jesus. Say, so he looked dead or he is dead. Jesus, I don't care. He's coming back. He lifts him up from the ground, gives him back to his dad. Yes, he can.
Yes, he can.
If he wills.
If he will.
But you need to believe and pray. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to pray, and right after I pray, we're going to have a moment of silence as we wait to prepare ourselves to take the Lord's Supper, in which we worship the Lamb of God who gave his life for the world. Father God, thank you for sending this man with his son to Jesus. And thank you for what Jesus told him. And thank you that Jesus healed this boy. And thank you that you have showed us over and over again that nothing is impossible with you. Please give us at least the faith this guy had to bring our problems to you, the King, and to cry out for compassion and mercy, and even to cry out for more faith when we don't have it. Please, Lord, do miracles in our life. Do miracles in this church. For your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.